You're listening to The Andy Fin Show, centrally located in America, on the TAFS Radio Network.
Okay, The Andy Fin Show is back, and we are talking now, in the world of politics, about a little faux pas that happened this week. So, you may have heard about this. President Bush held a video conference with soldiers in Iraq, and it was billed by the White House as a back and forth, and Bush getting a status about Iraq directly from the troops. Now, what they didn't tell you, what the White House didn't tell you, is that, first of all, these soldiers were handpicked. Of course, every crowd that Bush deals with is handpicked. Right? The Social Security fake town hall meetings that he held all through the 2005 until he gave them up here in June or July, as well as all the campaign rallies they held, you had to be a bona fide Republican to get in. They weren't taking any chances. There were no hostile questions. The kinds of questions he got were, what do you think is your greatest accomplishment? And people were professing love for him and respect every place he went. You talk about living in a bubble. George W. Bush is the ultimate bubble boy. Not only does he not need cash and can't get out at a florist to buy flowers for his wife, which is what happens to most presidents when they're in a bubble, he's insulated from bad news. He doesn't read newspapers and magazines. He gets the objective news directly from his staff. He's told us that before. And then when it comes time to listen to people, he gets canned opinions. So this whole thing that was set up from Iraq, I assume he knows that it's a setup, but the White House treated it as though it was a real back and forth, and they denied it was a setup. Well, here's NBC News' coverage of the setup, because what happened was they were practicing this ahead of time. Before Bush got there, his communication people were practicing it with the soldiers, deciding who was going to answer what questions, what they were going to say, and it was anything but spontaneous. Unfortunately, the practice went out over the satellite feeds and all the networks got it. And so everybody knew that it was a setup. Here's NBC's coverage of it from last week.
It was billed as a chance for the president to hear directly from the troops in Iraq. The White House called it a back and forth, a give and take. And so reporters who cover the White House were summoned this morning to witness a live video link between the commander-in-chief and the U.S. soldiers in the field as the elections approach in Iraq. The problem was, before the event was broadcast live on cable TV, the satellite picture from Iraq was being beamed back to television newsrooms here in the U.S. It showed a full-blown rehearsal of the president's questions in advance, along with the soldiers' answers and coaching from the administration.
The White House had said the exchange would be spontaneous, but there was something they did not expect you to see. The troops were coached on how to answer the commander-in-chief.
Oh, no,
this is Allison Barber. She works for the Pentagon.
All right, but if he gives us a question that's not something that we've scripted, Captain Kennedy, you're going to have that mic, and that's your chance to impress us all.
Okay, let's check that. We'll go back to that in a minute. But if he gives us something that's not been scripted, that's an employee of George W. Bush caught admitting that it was scripted. So you'd think that everybody would agree it was scripted. What we're leading up to here is there's some people on the right that refuse to believe it was scripted, which I think is hilarious because the whole country knows it was scripted. So let's go back to NBC's coverage of it. Again, this is the feed that was intercepted by all the networks of the coaching that went on before Bush appeared on the scene.
Master Sergeant Lombardo, when you're talking about the president coming to see you in New York, take a little breath before that so you can actually be talking directly to him. Got a real message there, okay?
During today's rehearsal, Barber played the role of the president. Here's one of Mr. Bush's questions in the practice session.
I'm interested in how your pre-election operations are going.
And here's how it was repeated when the cameras were rolling with the president in place.
Confident? I mean, how do you feel like the operations are going?
Here from the rehearsal is a soldier practicing his answer.
We are working in northern Iraq right now with an operation, what we call Operation Saratoga.
And here's how it appeared on the broadcast.
We're surging in an operation called Operation Saratoga.
Well, that seems pretty straightforward. It seems pretty obvious that what we're dealing with was a scripted press conference. Now, when asked about it, the spokesperson, Scott McClellan said, no, it wasn't scripted. So the White House denied it. And all the networks covered it. Because the White House reporters know this stuff. You know, they know how this works. A lot of it's scripted and they can't prove it. This time they had the proof. So they said, you know, I know that you spoon-feed us a lot of stuff, but we can't be dupes all the time. Well, the Washington Times, which is a conservative newspaper here in D.C., funded and sponsored by the Reverend Sung Young Moon for years, Washington Times is not convinced that the soldiers were coached. They did an editorial on the 17th of October discussing this whole thing, and they criticized reporters. This was mainly about the constitutional referendum in Iraq, but the Washington Times criticized reporters for, quote, fixating on reports that some of the soldiers who appeared had supposedly been coached by White House aides. Now, why they would say supposedly when everyone's seen the tape and I just played the audio of, the Washington Times went on and continued to make the case that this was spontaneous at some level, which is what the White House claims. Another person that buys this line, hook, line, and sinker is another 20%er, and that's Michelle Melkin. Now, Michelle Melkin is not that important as conservative voices go. She's a very attractive Asian-American woman who is out of her depth when she gets into deep discussions. She appeared on Hardball, and Chris Matthews took her apart because she repeated a claim. She actually went beyond the claim by the Swift Boat veterans that the Swift Boat veterans had made. I forget if she accused Kerry of self-inflicted wounds, that he inflicted the wound on himself that got one of his Purple Hearts. And Matthews jumped all over her. And the conservatives came to her rescue the next day. She was on Rush's show. And Chris Matthews shouldn't have picked on you like that, like you shouldn't be talking Hardball to a woman. You go on a serious show, you don't get away with the stuff you get away with on Rush Limbaugh's show or other shows. And you don't get coddled the way conservatives get coddled on Bill O'Reilly's show. You have to be able to defend yourself. And Michelle Melkin would not retract the comment she made that Kerry probably or might have self-inflicted his wound. And when Matthew said there's no evidence of this, you know, either give me the evidence or take it back, she was a blathering idiot. She wouldn't retract it, but she couldn't defend it. And so that's where she kind of jumped into people's consciousness, was that whole episode last fall in the heat of the election of 2004. But she does say outrageous things, and she went on the same bandwagon that the Washington Times was on here, the idea that this was not scripted, even though we have the tape that demonstrates it was scripted. And so what she said was that others, that quote, the Associated Press and NBC News correspondent Andrea Mitchell, who we were just listening to, quote, and others in the Bush-bashing press corps, quote, accused the White House and 10 soldiers from the Army's 42nd Infantry Division of staging an October 13th video conference in which President Bush spoke with soldiers stationed in Iraq. She criticized NBC News, quote, for indulging in a Bush deranged feeding frenzy over the, quote, staged talk with the troops. And so she's basically saying that this was overkill, that it didn't, I don't know if she's actually saying it didn't happen, but she's not convinced that it happened at the level that NBC thinks it did. So it's a predictable reaction from a 20%er. You have a knee-jerk reaction. You go out there. You decide that you're, first of all, not going to believe something. And then you marshal your arguments that it didn't actually happen. That is the argument of a 20%er. That's the argument of a Michelle Milken. That is the argument of the Washington Times trying to defend Bush. And ultimately, this brings us back to Rush Limbaugh, the king of the 20%ers, who picks their position first and then goes for the evidence to support it. We're going to come back, and when I come back, I'm going to talk to John Clark for the remainder of the show. And we're going to talk about John Lennon and Paul McCartney, ranked number 2 on AOL Music's list of the greatest songwriters in rock. And by the way, this guy, Bono of U2, is on the list, like number 8. So 6-7 weeks from now, John and I will be discussing U2's music and Bono's writing. Through the storm, we reach the shore.